This is Terry Pettit, the host of Inside the Coaching Mind. Today, our guest is Lexi Sun, a graduate student in marketing at the University of Nebraska, who also happens to be a four-year starter at the outside hitter position, an All-American, and a young woman who's also started her own brand, the Sunny Crew. And those in our studio audience, if you look under your chairs, there's probably a sweatshirt that Lexi brought for
you. Next time, we'll have to arrange that.
Welcome to Inside the Coaching Mind, conversations on leadership, coaching, and team building. Your host, Terry Pettit, led the University of Nebraska Cornhusker volleyball team from 1997 to 1999 and coached Nebraska's first ever national championship in 1995. And today, Coach Pettit mentors coaches. He's an author and speaks to businesses on leadership and team building. And I'm Dave Young, producer of the podcast. Thanks for joining us. I got through that, Terry. I so much enjoyed your interview with Lexi Sun. Now, I was sitting in the background recording, but what a fun time that was.
Well, Lexi brings a lot of energy. It was fun, and she's just a delightful young person. I think she's becoming self-aware and becoming aware of her potential. And I think her work with Brett Haskell, a sports psychologist at Nebraska, has helped her develop a lot of confidence. And I think that this is the type of interview that would interest not only coaches, but perhaps younger women who are dealing with the issues that she has met.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you went over a lot of territory with her. And I know that because this interview is with Lexi Sun, we're maybe getting some people exposed to Inside the Coaching Mind that haven't seen or heard any of your podcast interviews in the past. And if you want more of this, there's a couple of seasons worth that you can find at terrypettit.com. So after you're done listening to this interview with Lexi Sun, head over to terrypettit.com. You can subscribe to the podcast audio version of these interviews. And we've got a few other YouTube videos as well that are sitting there. And we hope you enjoy this interview now with Terry Pettit and Lexi Sun.
Lexi, thank you so much for being here. I've seen you play probably 30 times on television, probably three or four times live. So, but I've never talked to you before.
John, well, hello. Thanks for having me.
John has a rule. I can't talk to any of the players. Tell me about your family. I read your dad was a basketball player at Sacramento State and may have played some international basketball.
Mm-hmm. So my dad is full Chinese. He played on the Taiwan national team, and he did go to Sac State and played basketball there. Where he met my mom, and they eventually moved, obviously, to Southern California and had three kids, and I'm the youngest of the three. I have an older brother who's 10 years older than me, and then an older sister who's 7 years older than me, so I'm the baby baby.
You're the baby.
I'm the baby.
How tall was your dad? What position did he play?
He is about 6'2", 6'3". Position. Should probably know this. I have no idea.
Was he a leaper?
Pardon?
Was he a leaper? Could he jump?
Oh yeah, he could jump for sure.
Okay. How about your brother? Did he play in college?
My brother played a few years in college. He went to a college in Illinois called Wheaton. It's a very small.
I know where that's at. It's a strong faith school outside Elgin, Illinois.
Yes, yes. So he went there and played basketball, and my sister went to Azusa Pacific University and played soccer there.
Okay. Well, and how about your mom? What does she have an athletic background?
My mom was a swimmer growing up, but she's about 5'5". She's a little one, and she never played any sports in college.
Right. Well, yeah. You mentioned Wheaton College. I used to work for the National Church of the Brethren in their magazine, so I'm familiar with that. A very strong faith school. Mm-hmm. Talk about your family and faith. How important is that to you?
Yeah, it's everything. I think when I grew up in obviously a Christian household. I went to a Christian school K through 12. So I grew up in it and around it. And that was everything. We went to church every Sunday with my family. That was just a big part of the way that I grew up. And I'm very blessed and fortunate to have been brought up in that way. I think it wasn't until I would say the last two-ish years that I actually really took ownership of my personal faith, and it became more of a individual thing rather than just something that I did with my family. And so, yeah, I would say that along with COVID, I feel like I definitely started to take my faith a lot more seriously. And yeah, I would say that before I kind of placed my hope in things that were very surface level and just like earthly things like volleyball and school and relationships and stuff like that. And I kind of had a reality check when COVID came around and none of that was a thing anymore. And so that basically was my entire life. And so I kind of had to shift my perspective. And yeah, I definitely would say that my relationship with Jesus has strengthened ever since.
Mm-hmm. What, were you a multi-sport athlete?
I played soccer growing up for about 7 years. And then when I was 11, I was a head taller than all the other girls. And so my parents wanted me to try volleyball because my older sister had played a little bit. And so they literally had to force me to play volleyball because I didn't want to at first. And so I started playing volleyball when I was 11, and I played soccer that year, the same year. And then I decided to I just had to pick one. So I decided to obviously go with volleyball.
Well, to my knowledge, no, I didn't know of a Nebraska volleyball player, former or present, who did not play at least two sports at some point. So, Allison Weston, who was national player of the year in high school, mm-hmm. played soccer, volleyball, basketball, and track. And I'm sure, even though you didn't choose soccer, that the footwork that you learned in soccer has helped you in volleyball. There's no question there. Mm-hmm. You know, when you came out of, what was the name of your high school? It was
Santa Fe Christian.
Santa Fe Christian. You come out of Santa Fe Christian, and one of the websites that ranks players ranked you the number one recruit in the country. And I wrote a blog, and it didn't have anything to do with you in particular. But at the time, I said, I don't like this. Mm-hmm. I think it's unfair. I think guys might relish it, but it's something that I've never been a fan of for a couple reasons. One, who the heck knows who the number one or 29 or 54th or whatever recruit is. But my experience with females, they appreciate people following them and so forth, but they really don't want that separation. Mm. What's your thought on that whole business?
That's interesting. I have very mixed emotions about it all, I would say. I think I'm obviously so blessed and thankful to have received those awards. I think it's incredible. And obviously coming out of my senior year and graduating class, it could have been anyone to be ranked the number one recruit. So I'm very thankful and blessed, but I would say that a lot of people don't always talk about the negatives that do come along with it. And they're very real things. I think when it comes to expectations that either other people had placed on me or I had placed on myself, I think it definitely can be a very negative thing, but I think it's just a matter of harnessing that and figuring out how to deal with that and how to best approach going from that and going into your freshman year in college and overcoming maybe those expectations. Mm-hmm. And so I think I'm pretty neutral on it. I definitely see the pros and cons that come along with it, but that's sports. Like every team and every sport has a ranking, and that's just how it is. Right. I think it just depends on how you decide to let it affect you, and if you decide to let it affect you.
That's a good answer. And you know, in your freshman class, the freshman class coming in, I believe Kennedy Orr, the setter, was ranked number one, and Lindsey Krause was number two, and Allie Battenhorst and Riley Gray and Lexi Rodriguez and Whitney Lowenstein. How can you help? I'm guessing that one of those players might have some difficulty with those expectations. How can someone, a fifth-year senior, as experienced as you, how can you help them?
Absolutely. I think there are not a lot of people that are in that position, and I think you don't really feel the weight of that and the target on your back unless you're really in that position. And so I think having gone through that, hopefully I can be someone that can kind of give them a helping hand and help them and give them advice in the best way that I can. I've already had conversations with Kenna about this, but I think just focusing more on them as people and getting to know them and trying to help them the most that I can, instead of focusing on, oh, if you're the best or you're number one or you're ranked this or that. I think that's what it's all about, and just trying to help them and get them associate or get them into the Nebraska volleyball program and get them going.
Well, if I was the head coach of this team, one of the things I'd be concerned about, I can see preseason practice beginning, and that group has some kind of relationship already, and that they were all in camp together, they committed, et cetera. How do you keep that group from just being a group that's separate from yourself and the returning middles and the outsides and Nicklin? How do you bring them into this so that it's not freshmen and upperclassmen?
Yeah, absolutely. It takes a lot of work for sure. I think especially because it's such a wide range of age group, because we're so old and they're so young and just like a different stage of life. I think it definitely can be hard, but I think that's something that takes time, and having them here this summer, we've been able to build those relationships and establish trust with them, and work with our sports psych and getting to know each other on a deeper level and how one another works and all of that. I think all those things are important. And we've already been starting that process.
Mm-hmm. So are there exercises that help?
Absolutely. I think because we see each other so often and we're lifting every day and together in the gym, I think it's pretty easy to think that we know each other, like we got it, but you never really get to a point, unless you do these exercises, you never really get to a point of really getting to know them and who they are as a person and their character and the unique things about them. And so throughout every summer with all the new players and old players, we all get together, and it differs each summer, but we usually go through this personality test where we get to know each other on a deeper level. And this year we did one about conflict management. And so how in different situations, how each of us would operate and work and what we would do and what we wouldn't. And we've had multiple conversations about why we need to encourage the differences, how we can approach this and what's going to work and what's not. So I would just say stuff like that and really getting to know one another.
Yeah, that's good. I don't know. Are you familiar with Naomi Osaka, the number one tennis player in the world from Japan?
No.
I believe she pulled out of the French Open, and then she pulled out of Wimbledon because she felt the expectations were just too high. Now, this is somebody who's won majors. And I believe Serena said she fully understood when it happened that there was just so much pressure. And she may only be 19 years old. I'm not sure how old she is, but she's a younger player. But to me, number one in the world. And after every event, she's asked questions. Yeah, I don't know if you ever watched a professional golf tour, but every week they're asked the same questions. Yeah. Like, why haven't you won a major? Why haven't you, you know, et cetera. Right. And it, evidently she felt the pressure of that. Do you see yourself, well, let me put it this way. Do you get energy from a large group of people, or do you get energy from us? Would you prefer to be with a small group? Yeah. I hate parties. I have no interest.
Are you an introvert?
Yes, I'm an introvert.
Okay.
I'm forced in something like this. Introverts can speak to 500 people.
For sure.
But I don't want to be in a room with 100 people.
Yeah, yeah. So I would say I'm a social introvert. So I do need like human connection and I love being with people, but in order to recharge, I need to be by myself. So my me time is really important, but I do like being social and talking to people and all that. And so when I tell people, oh, I'm actually an introvert, people are like taken back, like, what? You're an introvert? I'm like, yeah, like, I don't know. It's pretty funny.
Well, you know, I looked at your Instagram page and I bet that you were an introvert. I didn't.
Really?
Yes.
Great.
Well, there's nothing that self-promotes there.
Mm.
You know, there's photographs, but it doesn't strike me as a person trying to draw attention to themselves.
Mm.
And one of my hobbies is trying to see people and figure out what makes them tick. But what you're saying doesn't surprise me. When you mentioned working through things, I think I saw a Big Ten video where either you or Coach Cook mentioned Brett Haskell, sports psychologist at Nebraska, has helped you work through issues and the team work through issues. What kind of issues? I'm not sure we had a sports psychologist. I guess we had one when I was there.
Mm-hmm.
But what does Brett do for you and the volleyball team?
For sure. She does a lot. For me personally, I've had to, like we were talking about before, those expectations. I came here with a lot of negative things going on in my brain. And I had an interesting relationship with volleyball at the time. And just lots of things that I had never really talked about and things that I hadn't worked on ever before. And so over the past 4 years, Brett's helped me tremendously in just getting my confidence back and reminding me what's important and giving me different strategies to use in different times. And it's been so helpful.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to the team, I mean, I've never been on a team where there isn't conflict. There's always conflict, especially when you put 15 girls together for however long, you know, there's always going to be something, whether it's big or small. So I think it's just a matter of how we go about that and the best way to do it, and how to have tough conversations and being open with one another and holding each other accountable. So it's just all the good stuff. And she just helps us really dive into all of that.
If you were coaching, a club team or a high school team, and you had a player that was talented but lacked confidence,
mm-hmm.
How do you get it? How do you get it without having successful experience? What can you do to help somebody?
For sure, I think for me, my personal identity is not wrapped up in volleyball. Who I am as a person and what I'm worth isn't how I play on a volleyball court. You know what I mean? And so for me, it's kind of just been harnessing that and knowing that whatever happens, I'm going to be okay. My family will still love me and like all of that. And it's not going to be the end of the world. And so I think that's something that I've personally been able to focus on. I think there are a lot of different ways that you can build confidence. I feel like it depends on what the person values and what really drives them, if that makes sense.
But this is something this feeling has evolved for you.
Yes.
When you came from Nebraska, were you that centered?
Not at all. No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and that tape says, you know, John says that you were physically broken. Mm-hmm. I don't think you played the first six or seven matches mm-hmm. of that fall.
Yeah.
And I don't know that you were able to train that summer. And mm-hmm. I never heard were they overuse injuries or were they just?
So I had kind of taken a lot of time off during my transferring period. Mm-hmm. So before I got to Nebraska, I wasn't training as much and like in the gym and all of that. And so I kind of came into my time at Nebraska with an injury. And so I had to work on that for the entire summer basically. And then the preseason of my first season. Mm-hmm. So I do remember I missed a few games in the beginning there, but, our support staff helped me so much and just getting back on the court and strengthening things that I need to strengthen and just getting me healthy and ready to go.
Yeah. And it also indicates, I think, some patience in the coaching staff.
Absolutely.
Knowing this is an important player and we don't need to rush this, that she can.
For sure. For sure. Yeah.
She can come along. I think you're one of the best left side blockers in college volleyball. You make a very quick crossover step, you seal. And I also noticed that last year you came to a different level as a server. You may have been Nebraska's most aggressive server. So those things to me have developed over the last couple of years. How did they develop? And who was the person responsible for training you in those areas?
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you. That is very cool that you think that. I wouldn't say there was a specific coach. I think that all of our coaches have contributed equally, I would say. I think that every single day we're getting new tips and ideas and things that we're working on to see kind of what helps us. I would say last year we were working on blocking, just making big moves. I think that something that we train that was newer to us is like one arm blocking. And so it kind of just encourages us to make really big moves outside of our body. And
I'm not familiar with that term, one arm blocking. What does that mean?
So in practice, obviously we don't do this in games, but in practice, we go through drills where we only use one hand blocking. Okay. So if our ball is hit to our left, then we would only block with our right. We would go over our shoulder and then vice versa.
And what do you gain by doing that?
So it just encourages us to be making these types of moves and not necessarily having our arms straight out and like locked out.
Right.
Because when it's locked out, then you can't really go to one side or the other very well.
Right. And, you know, there may be some high school coaches watching here and high school players. That's great if you're a 6'2 leaper. It's not something that I would encourage a smaller blocker to do.
Right, right.
You know, you're better off taking your area. But the women's game has been evolving for years, and the movements are approaching some of the movements in the men's game.
For sure.
You know, I'm curious about this. I think you score on a higher percentage of off-speed shots than any left-side player playing today. You know, you'll hit roll shots, tips, whatever. But I don't see it as a conservative move. Mm. I see it because of your court awareness. Where does the court awareness come from?
So I definitely have not always had that court awareness. So I've definitely had to work on it over the years, but this past year specifically, something that we've been working on as a team and something that Tyler is really passionate about is
Hildebrand.
Yes, Tyler Hildebrand is being creative. And so not necessarily just tipping the ball, like you said, and just being an out. But being aggressive with our off-speed shots and mixing it up and always keeping the defense on their toes. So that's something that our entire team has been working on this past season and still is. But I think for me, I was able to kind of capitalize on that because I think I was a pretty one-dimensional hitter. So it was either hit as hard as you can or tip the ball right over. And I think for me, that's something that I've been really trying to work on and still am trying to work on. So I appreciate you saying that.
Well, I've seen you push the ball into the block. I've seen you tip the ball to four. I've seen you work that middle back player in a rotation defense where she has to cover both the corner and she has to cover shallow in the middle. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it doesn't look like you're not just keeping the ball in play. You're hitting the shot to score. Mm-hmm. And it's very effective.
Yeah. I think a lot of people don't realize that you can get, there are other ways to get kills than just hitting the ball as hard as you can. You know what I mean? So I think it's just tapping into that.
Do you see yourself then as a finesse attacker or a power player?
Maybe a wannabe finesse. I don't know.
I in watching both you and Maddie Kubik, the other outside, it strikes me both of you hit the ball harder out of the back row. The front row. Has anybody ever said that to you?
No.
Well, it may not be true. but when I'm watching, I think particularly Maddie hits the ball harder out of the back row than she does the front row.
Maybe it has to do with the block or something.
I don't know. You have a little bit more freedom there.
Yeah, that's very true.
Jazz graduated and is going to pro ball, and the other lady that played right side has been injured. What would you think if Coach Cook said to you, we need a dominant point scorer on the right side? And we've had, I shouldn't say we, because I'm not there, but Nebraska has had very good right side players, but they haven't had a really dominant right side player, somebody that might go up to 4 or 5 kills per set in some time. And I've seen you side out a lot in that first rotation. You appear to be as comfortable there as you are on the left side. If he said that to you, what would be your response?
So my personality in general, I'm not good at trying new things. And that's something that I've addressed and I'm trying to work on. And I just don't like not being good at things. And I don't like things that don't come natural to me and aren't normal to me or routine, whatever. With that being said, if he came and said that to me, I would say, absolutely, let's do it. Whatever the team needs and whatever position needs to be played, I'm going to do that to the best of my abilities. And I think if he were to say that, it would be a great learning and growing opportunity for me. And I think that's a very likely possibility. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, would you have had that response two, three years ago?
Absolutely not. No. And anyone that knows me is like, yes, there's no way.
Did you watch the championship match between Kentucky and Texas?
I watched bits and pieces, not the entire thing.
Okay. Did you watch any matches with Kentucky?
Yes, a little bit, bits and pieces, yes.
Yeah. Well, the thing that impressed me about Kentucky, obviously they're very athletic, but the difference between their attack and Texas' attack was not how high the people could jump. It was how fast really Kentucky had 5 pin hitters because the one middle never hit in front. She always hit a 5 behind.
Yes.
But they were all very quick off the floor. I thought, man, that's not the only way to do things. The great player at Nebraska 3-4 years ago, I'm trying to think of what her name is, that's on the national team. was actually had a very, she wasn't quick off the floor, but she was as good as any player in the country. However, when I watched Maddie Skinner hit balls out of system and just hit every ball at the apex, it was impressive.
Absolutely.
Is that something Lexi Sun can do?
We're going to try. yeah, I think something that I've always been used to, and this goes back to what we just talked about, is I've been used to higher sets because that's what we always would do. And I would be used to hitting over people in club and in high school and all of that. So I think more naturally, the things that I gravitate to are the things that I'm used to. And I did see how dominant Kentucky was in running a fast offense, and I'm definitely open to trying that. And I haven't tried it before. So I'm really excited to see the opportunities and the growth we can make as a team in maybe trying some of those things.
Cool.
Yeah.
Talk about your growth as a teammate. Who's, if I was to ask Nicklin Hames, how is Lexi Sun as a teammate, what would she say?
Wow, I have no idea. I think I have grown a lot as a teammate. I think before I was able to deal with all of the things going on in my head while I was playing, I think it was hard for me to really be in the moment and really connect with my teammates on the floor because there was so much going on in my brain and in my mind.
So you couldn't give.
Exactly. And so I think over the last few years, something that's actually really helped me limit the stuff that's going on in my brain is focusing on my teammates and connecting with them and figuring out how I can help them more in the games and in practice and all of that. And so that has been my goal over the last few years. And I'm hopeful that my teammates have, would think that I've grown as a teammate.
Mm-hmm. Looking at the roster, if people are, the number of people are healthy that I think are healthy, mm-hmm. there's a good chance that a freshman's going to have to be on the court somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Either right side or left side. Maddie on Kentucky was a freshman. She benefited from COVID because she got to play those matches in the fall and whatever.
Right.
So certainly teams can compete for a national championship as a freshman. But what can you do? What can Stivrins do? What can Nicklin do to welcome that person?
Yeah.
Feel like they can, hey, we can win a championship with you on the court.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it's just instilling a sense of belief in them. Obviously last year we didn't get any freshmen, like young freshmen like that. And we basically had like the same team coming up. And so I think this is going to be a different year. Obviously we have 5 brand new girls adding to our team. And so I think that just embracing that and making them feel like comfortable and feel like they have a say and that they're valued no matter what their role is. But yeah, I think just making them believe in themselves and in the team as a whole.
Now, Kennedy Orr came in at the semester, but she'd had surgery, correct? Was that an ACL tear or,
mm-hmm.
and what's her status or health?
She's doing great. She's been working all summer long, rehabbing, working with Jolene, getting stronger. And she's looking great. I don't know the specifics behind her return date and all of that. But all I see is her working hard and getting after it. So I'm excited for her.
Had you played on any international teams with her?
No, I had not. And I actually have never seen her play before. So I'm excited.
Well, you launched on day one, you launched a clothing line. You're wearing the shirt there.
Yes.
The Sunny Crew. How did that come about?
Yeah.
I would guess a lot of people approached you.
For sure. So it was kind of weird with all of the NIL stuff because we didn't really know 100% if it was going to happen and when it was going to happen. So it was kind of interesting preparing for it. But a few months ago, I obviously heard that it was a possibility and I knew that I wanted to do something, but I didn't know what. And so Ren Athletics is a strictly volleyball apparel company, and it's all about the feel and creating like this, creating whatever the clubs, different clubs want. So different colors and looks and all of that. And so I wanted to be creative. And so I was able to be free and create my little logo here. Yeah, so that's what I did. And I don't know, I have obviously a lot of ideas moving forward about different things that I could do with this line and with Ren, but we will see what comes. Yeah.
Well, your undergraduate degree is in marketing, isn't it?
It's in communication.
Communication, but a graduate degree in marketing?
Advertising and public
advertising. So what, that background, what do you bring to this? What can you do? I'm curious because I'm not very good at marketing. I've got 6,000 books in my garage because I don't know how to market them. So what do people not understand about marketing?
Wow. Well, I honestly realized that I had an interest in this, in going through all the process of creating the Sunny Crew. And so this is just something that I know that will be able to benefit me in whatever I do with NIL and as an athlete and all of that. But also if I did want to pursue something down the road in marketing or in advertising, I could. And so for me, this is more just discovery and seeing what I like and if this sticks. But there are definitely aspects that I'm able to bring over into the now, which is pretty awesome.
Are there other possibilities, entrepreneurial possibilities you're exploring?
Such, what do you mean?
Well, in other words, are there other brands or other people that, you know, you've talked to about sponsoring you?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yes, I'm in the process of figuring out who and how I want to go about this. But I've been in communication with some people and I'm excited to see what can come from it. So it's a pretty cool opportunity.
Yeah. And Nebraska is a little fortunate to get on this sooner than most places. There is it Open Doors? Is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm.
That does this kind of thing, and they're located in Lincoln. And I also noticed that a certain percentage of the income that you earn will go to sports psychology. Talk about that.
Yeah. So like I was talking about before, Brett has been a very influential person in my life. And I'm just very grateful for the sports psychology opportunities that we have here in Nebraska. I feel like not a lot of schools offer all of that. And so for me, something that I wanted to do was just give back because it's had such a big influence on me. And so I'm actually giving back to an organization called Holinsky's Hope. I don't know if you saw that, but they're an organization that basically just tries to provide opportunities to other athletes and stuff like that in order to have those sports psych opportunities. And yeah, so it's pretty awesome. I'm really excited to get to work with them and hopefully have an impact.
Mm-hmm. How have teammates responded to you and other people getting these opportunities?
They've all been great. I think along with NIL are going to come a lot of obstacles with team dynamics, and not our team in particular, but every team. It's just going to add a whole new component that we haven't had to deal with before. And there are going to be people that make more money than others. And I think there are going to be a lot of conversations and things that need to be done in order to maintain a healthy team dynamic. So yeah, my teammates have been great. We're really supportive of each other and I love them to death. So I'm excited to see what we can all do
Okay. Yeah. It's interesting. This is kind of a difficult question. You may or may not have thought of it. Where do you see yourself in 10 years?
It is a difficult question, especially because I don't know what I'm doing in 6 months. So 10 years, I probably see myself somewhere in Southern California, hopefully married with kids. Just living, I don't know, probably hopefully close to my family. But yeah, that's a general idea. I don't know the specifics. We'll get there. We'll figure it out when we get there. But yeah, that's what I think.
Well, I think I shared with you, I'm sure I've driven through Encinitas, but Ann and I did eat at the Chart House in Cardiff. Is that still there?
Yes, it is. And that's awesome.
It's right up against the ocean there. And we were staying in La Jolla and drove up the coast. But
yeah,
you know, I have the sense that people that grew up near any major geological thing like an ocean or we live in Fort Collins now, and so the mountains are there. Mm-hmm. It's a tremendous draw, you mm-hmm. know, like it in some ways it centers you. Was it hard, or did you think about that when you left home and you first went to Texas, then Nebraska? Mm-hmm. Is that hard leaving that geography?
Mm-hmm. I definitely, growing up along the coast, I took that for granted 100%. I didn't really realize that not everywhere was like home until I got to Texas and Nebraska. But I definitely saw all of the opportunities that I had in experiencing something new for 4 years during college. And I knew I wasn't signing my life away, and the fact I don't have to live here in Nebraska for the rest of my life. So I was more excited about getting to experience seasons and snow and all of that. And I know that I can always go back to California and that's home. But I'm really thankful that I did branch out of my comfort zone and try something new for the 4 years that I've been here.
You know, there's a consistent theme I'm hearing from you that I hear from a lot of people. And that is, it's a challenge for me. I want to do everything perfect right away. I don't want to do something and look foolish. And of course, if that pretty limits, puts a lot of limits on what we're capable of doing. How have you come to terms with that? And how have you pushed back on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, I don't know. I think every day I just have to continue to work on not worrying about what other people think of me. I think that's something that I've had to overcome and I'm still working on. But yeah, just reminding myself and surrounding myself with people who love me and who are like speaking truth and life into my life. So yeah, it's definitely something that I haven't gotten mastered. And I think that as people, we are always concerned about our image and what other people are thinking of us and all of that. And we're always constantly trying to protect ourselves. So I think it's not a natural thing. But I think it's important to really understand what matters to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, combined, we have 76,006 followers on what's the social media platform that you have? It's
Instagram.
Yeah, I have 6. You have 76,000.
Oh my gosh, great.
You know what, there's some irony in this. You're a private person, and I don't see anything you've posted on Instagram that really shouts, please watch me. It just seems to be who you are, but you're a private person and yet you've got 76,000 people. And some of that is because you were a highly recruited athlete. You're very good at what you do. And anytime that there's that type of attention, there are people that I saw a quote, a sports writer bashing LeBron the other day because LeBron congratulated somebody on the, I don't know if it was the Phoenix Suns.
What?
When they lost, you know, like, oh, Jordan would never do that. Well, that's crazy. You know, to me, LeBron is a mature adult. He's scholarshiped hundreds of kids. He's a great player, but it just comes with the territory. Who's your best friend?
My best friend is my sister. Even though she's 7 years older than me, I think when she left for college, we became super, super close. And so even though she is still living in San Diego, we FaceTime about more than 5 times a day. It's a bit of an issue, but we're always talking. And yeah, she's my best friend.
Uh-huh. How about a best friend in Nebraska? Who's your best friend in Nebraska?
I would probably say Lauren. Uh-huh. Me and Lauren are roommates, and we've been roommates since I've been here. But she's awesome. We're very different people, but I love her to death.
Yeah. Well, what are the challenges for a team that trained all fall, played in the spring, coming back from the pandemic? How do you know whether or not a fifth year player is motivated?
I think because it was just such an interesting year last year, I think it kind of put everyone off into like a different, I don't know. I think the schedule was weird. I feel like we don't really know what time of the year it is because we just played. Like, it just, everything is kind of weird. Mm-hmm. But I'm very happy that everything's kind of starting to get back to somewhat normal. And I think we will be fine. I think we had enough time and break in the summer to take some time off and come back and play. But yeah, I think it's just kind of like hitting a reset button for us in kind of leaving last year behind and kind of just getting back to the team that we were before all of that. And something that we've been working on this summer that I think we lost the past few years is having an edge. And so that's something that we've been talking about as a team and working on. And I'm really excited to be able to show that this season.
I know what you mean when you say that, but there's going to be some people listening that, particularly younger players, that don't know what you mean when you say it. What does an edge mean?
Yeah.
What are the behaviors that indicate it?
Yeah. I think being gritty, I think setting really high expectations for ourselves. I think holding each other accountable and having tough conversations. I think pushing one another. I mean, there are a lot of things that go into it, but I think the biggest thing for us is just being tougher as a collective group.
Mm-hmm. All right. Many, many years ago, we had an exceptional player, exceptional athlete who came out of a kind of a dysfunctional situation. Mm-hmm. And the players and the team didn't know how to share negative information. And so we spent the first 2 weeks in the preseason watching movies of strong women confronting each other. And we got to the point where everybody could talk to this person. She could relate fine to an authority figure, but she couldn't relate to her teammates. And that work that we did allowed her to not just play well, but allowed her players to say, hey, we need you to do this here. Yeah. And her respect that and respond to it. So that's good stuff. This morning I spoke on culture, and the first thing that came to my mind is the psychological safety that needs to be there in a team that allows players to take risks, allows players to confront people. Do you feel you have that?
Yeah, I think that's something, especially with a lot of new players, I think that's something that we have been working on and something that we still are. I think the biggest thing is just trust. trusting that our coaches have our best intentions and are giving us feedback to help us. And if we're having tough conversations with our teammates, just knowing that they want the best for us as well, and that they love us and they're not saying these things to hurt us, but that they're actually wanting to help us. So I think just establishing that trust so that we're all on the same page, I think that's the biggest thing.
Mm-hmm. You raise an issue there that I think is critical to all teams that coaches need to talk about. And that's PAC, parent, adult, child communication.
Mm.
So parent is judgmental. It's get out of the street, which is appropriate if a toddler's about to get out, step into the street. Then adult communication's information. Child communication is emotion. So you can be celebrating, great job, or the opposite. The challenge is that younger players in a program, when a coach is giving them information, here it is judgment. Mm. So a coach may say, extend the platform, and the player hears, I screwed up.
Mm-mm.
When, and so we worked on that a lot.
In
20 years from now, when you have a reunion, when this team has a reunion,
uh-huh.
Maybe a reunion for a national championship team. What will people remember most about Lexi Sun?
Wow. I would hope that they would remember me as someone who always played with a lot of joy and was always smiling. I think when it comes to college sports, it's obviously, and especially the level that we play at, I think it becomes a very serious game and a very serious thing. But I think it's super important at the same time, obviously you take it seriously, but to have fun with it. And I think for me, that's something that I will always like to do and always like to focus on. So I'm hopeful that they would remember me as that.
As joyful. Could you, let's say that you played for a really good college team. San Diego would be an example, but it didn't have the arena with 8,000 people, so you have a couple thousand people a match. Does that make a difference?
Absolutely. I think a lot of what Husker volleyball is Husker Nation and our fans and the atmosphere that we play in and the support we have. I think it's a huge part of our program. I think last year was kind of a testament to that because the year was so weird, but on top of that, we didn't have like half of our program with us because we were playing in the gym empty. And so I think that is a really big component to our program. And yeah, I think it's very, very different to play in Bob Devaney than it would be in any other gym.
If you had to say something to a 12-year-old girl who's considering this sport and her favorite player is Lexi Sun, and what advice would you give her?
Wow. So many things. I don't know. I would say to keep working. I think that a lot of people want to be the best. I would just encourage people and young players to really embrace whatever role that they have on their team. So I think that with each team, each player has a different role, and whether you're the best player or whether you're not, I think that each role is equally as valuable and important. And I would just encourage girls to do the best in their role and really strive to be who they are and support their teammates and build those relationships, because I think that is what is really important.
Build those relationships. Can a team develop the trust that it takes to win a championship or compete for a championship if those players don't interact outside practice?
I would say that would be a very hard thing to do. It could be possible, but not likely. No.
Yeah. Does the coaching staff, do you hear that as a, do they preach that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's so big. And even I would say the relationships between the players and the coaches, I would say those relationships are also super important in getting to know each other on a more relational level as well.
Right. Right. Lexi, you've been wonderful. If somebody wants to order some clothing, where would they go to get it?
Yes. So they can go to REN, athletics.com, or they can go to my Instagram, Lexi Sun with two I's, and the link is in the bio, so they can click on that and buy.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It's been great. Thank you. Thank you.
Coach Pettit, that was a lot of fun. Do you have your Lexi Sun sweatshirt now? Are you on the Sunny crew?
No, I never get any, I guess they call that stuff swag.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think she's a remarkable young woman, and I think this is probably the beginning of a lot of good things for her. The image and likeness issue, we certainly covered it. I didn't feel it was the most important thing about this podcast. I really wanted to find out who Lexi was and the challenges that she's met. And I thought the discussion with her could be really helpful to younger women who are dealing with the same issues and who hope to someday be Lexi Sun and play, compete for national championships in whatever endeavor they choose. But she's a very interesting young woman, very talented.
Now, this interview was a lot of fun, and you and I have talked, and I think this is a direction that you would kind of like to take the podcast, right? More of this type of interview?
Well, our initial 20 interviews or so, with the exception of some, we had the three setters and Kelly Hunter was a part of that. And she's certainly a younger woman as well that's had success. But for the most part, we've dealt with older coaches. But I think there's value in doing something like this and talking with people who are trying to do extraordinary things.
Right.
And Lexi certainly is trying to do that, and she's well on her way. So if people have ideas along this line, let us know. If they're interested in Terry Pettit coming to their organization or corporation and talking about team building and leadership, I'd be happy to do that. And if they have suggestions for our show.
Right. And all the ways to get in touch with you, you can find those at terrypettit.com, where you can also find all of the back episodes of the podcast and some videos as well, and even some of your books. Yeah. So I encourage people to drop over there and take a look at terrypettit.com. Terry, thank you for this interview, and I look forward to the next one.
Thank you, David. Mm-hmm.